Welcome to Zichu Dav Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Yuma, Dav Ein of the seventh parak, Balo Kohen Gadol. So the three tops we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara describes the meaning between the Kohen Gadol and the one who had taken the Sirah Azazel out to the wilderness, which would take place the following day. Rashi explains that the one who sent the Sirah out remained in the wilderness until after nightfall. If they met in the street, the one who took the Sirah out would say to the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol Asinu Shichuscha. My Lord Kohen Gadol, we've fulfilled what you have commissioned us to do. However, if he finds the Kohen Gadol at home, he says, Mechaye Chaim Asinu Shuchuso, the one who gives life to the living, referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu, we have fulfilled what he has commissioned us to do. Rashi explains, then he meets the Kohen Gadol on the street, he honors the Kohen Gadol in public by ascribing the commission to the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi said that when the Rabbanim would take leave of one another in Pumadisa, they would say the following, Mechaye Chaim Yitem Lecha Chaim Ruchim Betovim Musukanim. The one who gives life to the living should give you a long, good, and well-provided life. Pointed to the Pasuk of Mishlei states, Alechem Ishim Ekra, unto you, men, do I call. Why does the Pasuk use this unusual word, Ishim, for men? Rabbi Berechia said, El Talmud Chachamim, Shadom Men Nashim, Va'osim Gvura Ka Nashim. This refers to Talmud Chachamim who appear similar to women, and that they are non-aggressive and physically weak, yet they perform feats of heroic strength like men. The Marasha explains that their heroic accomplishment is overcoming their Yetzohara, which is a sign of true strength. Rabbi Rechia also said, one who desires to offer a wine libation upon the Mizbeach should fill the throats of Talmid Chachamim with wine, for it stated in the Pasuk, Alechem Ishim Ekra, unto you, men, do I call. The word Ishim suggests Isheh, an offering on the Mizbeach. And point number three, the next Mishnah lists the eight begotten of the Kohen Gadol and the four begotten of the Kohen Hediot. The Gemara brings a brayso that taught, Dvarim shenemar behen sheish, chutan kapu shisha. Items which the Torah says should be made with sheish, linen, had their threads spun sixfold. This means that each thread of linen was composed of six strands spun into a single thread. Furthermore, if items contained other materials in addition to linen, then each of the materials were spun sixfold. Mashzar, shmone. Items described as mashzar, twined, had their threads spun eightfold. Mi'il shnemasar, the robe which was pure tachelis wool, was made of 12-fold cords, the parochus was made of 24-fold cords, and the choshen and the ephod were made of 28-fold cords. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara describes the meeting between the Kohen Gadol and the one who had taken the Sirah Azazel out to the wilderness, which would take place the following day. Rashi explains that the one who sent the seer out remained in the wilderness until after nightfall. If they met in the street, the one who took the seer out would say to the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol Asinu Shichuscha. My Lord, Kohen Gadol, we have fulfilled what you have commissioned us to do. However, if he finds a Kohen Gadol at home, he says, Mechaye Chaim Asinu Shichuso. The one who gives life to the living, referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu, we have fulfilled what he commissioned us to do. Rashi explains that when he meets the Kohen Gadol on the street, he honors the Kohen Gadol in public by ascribing the commission to the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi said that when the Rabban would take leave of one another in Pumbendisa, they would say the following, Mechaye Chaim Yitenu Lecha Chaim Aruchim Betovim Musukanim. The one who gives life to the living should give you a long, good, and well-provided life. Pointing to the Pasuk of Mishlei states, Alechem Ishim Ekra, unto you, men, do I call. Why does the Pasuk use this unusual word, Ishim, for men? Rabbi Berechia said, Eo Talmud Chachamim Shadon Men Nashim Ve'osin Gevura Ka'an Nashim. This refers to Talmud Chachamim who appear similar to women in that they are non-aggressive and physically weak, yet they perform feats of heroic strength like men. The Marsha explains that their heroic accomplishment is overcoming the Yetzirah, which is a sign of true strength. Rabbi Berechia also said, Haroitz Lenasech Yain Al Gabi HaMizbech Yemal Agronim Shel Talmud Chachamim Yain. One who desires to offer a wine libation upon the Mizbeach should fill the throats of Talmud Chachamim with wine, for it stated in the Pasuk, Alechem Ishim Ekra, unto you men do I call. The word Ishim suggests Isheh, an offering on the Mizbeach. And point number three, the next Mishnah lists the eight begotten of the Kohen Gadol and the four begotten of a Kohen Hediot. The Gemara brings a brayso that taught, Dvarim Shenemar Behen Sheish Chutan Kapo Shisha. Items which the Torah says should be made with sheish, linen, had their threads spun sixfold. This means that each thread of linen was composed of six strands spun into a single thread. Furthermore, if items contained other materials in addition to linen, then each of the materials were spun sixfold. Mashzar, shmona. Items described as mashzar, twined, had their threads spun eightfold. Mi'il, shnemasar, the robe which was pure to chaos wool, was made of 12-fold cords, the parochus was made of 24-fold cords, and the choshen and the ephod were made of 28-fold cords. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Ein Aleph, and this one comes to us by way of Sammy Rubin from London, who suggests an Ein Aleph is a donkey going ee-aw. So here goes. The two colleagues greeting each other in the street by a donkey were astonished when a slight and weak-looking Talmud Chacham picked the animal up with one hand as his muscles ripped through his garment, which was spun sixthfold. Once again in slow motion. The two colleagues greeting each other in the street by donkey. Donkey, that must mean we're on Duff. Ein Aleph, E-R. The two colleagues greeting each other in the street by a donkey, which reminds us what the one who took the Sir Azazel out would say to the Kohen Gadol when he met the Kohen Gadol the next day, and how he ascribed his shlichus to the Kohen Gadol when he met him in the street to give honor to him in public. So the two colleagues greeting each other in the street by a donkey were astonished when a slight and weak-looking Talmud Chacham picked the animal up with one hand, which reminds us Rabbi Berechia gives two pshatim in the pasuk in Mishlei that states, Alechem Ishim Ekra, and to you men do I call. This refers to the Talmud Chachamim who appear similar to women in that they're non-aggressive and physically weak, yet they perform feats of heroic strength like men, referring to overcoming their Yetzer Hara. The second pshat is Harod Silenasach Yain Al Gabi Hamizbeach Yemal Gronim Shel Talmud Chachamim Yain. One who desires to offer a wine libation upon the Mizbeach should fill the throats of Talmud Chachamim with wine, because the word Ishim suggests Isha, an offering on the Mizbeach. So the two colleagues greeting each other in the street by a donkey were astonished when a slight and weak-looking Talmud Chacham picked the animal up with one hand, as his muscles ripped through his garment, which was spun sixfold. Which reminds us, the Braisa taught how the Big Day Kahuna were woven. Items which the Torah says were made with sheish, linen, had the thread spun sixfold. This means that each thread of linen was composed of six strands spun into a single thread. Items described as mashzar, twine, had their thread spun eightfold. The me'il, which was pure techelis wool, was made of 12-fold cords. Peruch was made of 24-fold cords. The chosh and the ephod were made of 28-fold cords. So once again, the two colleagues greeting each other in the street by a donkey were astonished when a slight and weak-looking Talmud Chacham picked the animal up with one hand as his muscles ripped through his garment, which was spun sixfold. All right, now it's time to go to our four-block back chazara. Daf Samach Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Samach Zayin is a sizzling barbecue. So here goes. The ravenous Bachrim at the barbecue. Barbecue. That must be more on Daf Samach Zayin. Sizzling barbecue. The ravenous Bachrim at the barbecue, sitting at tables laden with baskets of bread, which reminds us, the next mission describes the Ish Iti's trek to the Azazel cliff, where 10 sukkahs were set up intermittently along the way, and at each sukkah they would say to him, Hari Mazon, Hari Maim, here's food and here's drink. Now it's taught in a braisa that no one ever had a need for this food and drink, so why did they offer it to him? Elo she'enu doma mi she'eshu pas b'salo l'mi she'enu pas b'salo. Rather, it was offered because the hunger of one who has bread in his basket doesn't compare to the hunger of one who does not have bread in his basket. So the ravenous Bachrim at the barbecue, sitting at tables laden with baskets of bread, keenly watching in anticipation for the red strip meat indicator to turn white. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that originally they would tie the Lashon Shel Zohoris on the doorway of the on the outside, and if it turned white, they rejoiced, but if it didn't turn white, they were despondent and ashamed. They therefore instituted they should tie it on the door of the on the inside, but people would still peek in and see what happened to it. They therefore instituted they should tie half of the strip on a rock and half of the strip on the goat's horns. Rabbi Nachum Bar Papa said in the name of Elazar HaKapar, originally they would tie the strip of red wool on the door of the on the inside, and as soon as the goat reached the wilderness and was pushed off the cliff, the strip would turn white, and they knew that the mitzvah of the seer was complete, as it says in the pasuk, "Im yuchatechem kashanim kashel yelbinu." If your sins will be like crimson, they'll become white like snow. So the ravenous Bachrim at the barbecue, sitting at tables laden with baskets of bread, keenly watched in anticipation for the red strip meat indicator to turn white, while enjoying their view from on top of the harsh and rugged mountain next to a cliff. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa Azazel Shia Azvakasha. The term Azazel indicates that the mountain should be harsh and rugged. It might be thought that the seer can be sent to a mountain in a populated place. The Torah therefore states, Bemidbar, in the wilderness, Umanayin Shebetzuk, and from where do we know that it must be a cliff? The Torah therefore states, Gezerah, meaning cut sharply, such as a cliff. A braisa was taught in the Yeshiva Rav Shmuel, Azazel, Shemechapra Maisa Uzza Ba'Azael. The term Azazel indicates that it atones for the act of Uzzah and Azael. Rashi explains that this refers to the two Malachim of destruction who descended to earth in the days of Naamah, the sister of Tubal Cain, and proceeded to a cohabit with the daughters of man. They represent the sin of adultery for which the Seir comes to atone. Tav Samaches, so the Simra Samaches is Schach, and we use a Sukkah. So here goes. The Sukkahs, that must mourn Tav Samaches, Schach. The sukkah's Chol HaMoed extravaganza featured a high-tech sukkah, where a par was dismembered by a laser with the skin on its meat, which reminds us the source of the par in Seir Yom Kippur dismembered with the skin still on the meat, comes from a lima that connects him to the par called Mashiach, which has nituach with no hebshet, dismemberment with no flaying. The Torah states regarding the par called Mashiach, but the hide of the bull and all its meat, bekiru upirsho, and its innards and its waist. Rapop explained, just as the bull's waist must obviously remain within its innards, so too the bull's meat should remain within its skin. So the sukkah's Chol HaMoed extravaganza featured a high-tech sukkah, where a par was dismembered by a laser with the skin on its meat, and tumah sensors detected the moment someone left the sukkah, which reminds us of the machlokes when the clothing of those transporting the parnsir become tameh. The chamim hold that as soon as they exit from the walls of the azor, whereas Rabbi Shimon holds mishiyatzi za'ur baruban, as soon as the fire catches hold of the greater part of the limbs. According to the chamim, even though it's known that the parnsir are burned outside all three camps, the pasuk states mechutz l'machaneh to tell you that as soon as the parnsir leave one camp, they are metameh those transporting it along with their clothing. The Gemara addressed what Rabbi Shimon learns from the pasuk. So the sukkah's chol mod extravaganza featured a high-tech sukkah, where a par was dismembered by a laser with the skin on its meat, and tumah sensors detected the moment someone left the sukkah, while someone dressed in Big Day Lavan read from the Torah. Which reminds us, the Kohen Gadol can wear the Big Day Lavan for Kriyas HaTorah even though it's not a Nevoda, as evident he can do the Kriya wearing his personal begadim. Now this is not a proof that Big Day Kohuna Nitnas Lahanas Behen, that it's permitted to benefit from the Big Day Kohuna even when not performing a Nevoda, since the Kriya on Yom Kippur is different to Tzorach Avodahi, meaning that although it's not itself a Nevoda, it's an Avoda need. Daf Samach Tes, so the Simur Samach Tes is Soot, and we use a chimney sweep. So here goes. The leader of the chimney sweeps, that must mean we're on Daf Samach Tes, Soot. The leader of the chimney sweeps bowed down to a priestly man in beautiful garments, which reminds us of Shimon HaTzedek's encounter with Alexander and how Alexander bowed down, saying he saw a likeness of Shimon HaTzedek on the battlefield that enabled him to be victorious. And although the din is that one should not wear Big Day Kohuna outside the base of Migdash, the Gemara relates that either they were garments that were fitting to be used as Big Day Kohuna, or that here he was permitted to wear Big Day Kohuna as it was an emergency, based on the pasuk, Eis la'asos l'Hashem meferus or Hasecha. It's a time to act for Hashem, they have nullified your Torah. So the leader of the chimney sweeps bowed down to a priestly man in beautiful garments when he cast a fiery lion cub into a lead cauldron producing lots of soot, which reminds us of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah subduing the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zorah and their decision to only blind the Yetzer Hara for immorality in one eye, lest the world would become desolate, which resulted in the removal of the temptation for incestuous relationships. So the leader of the chimney sweeps bowed down to a priestly man in beautiful garments when he cast a fiery lion cub into a lead cauldron producing lots of soot, while an assembly of great judges looking on proclaimed Hashem was powerful and awesome. Which reminds us that the Gemara explains the reason why the Anshei Knesset Gedolah were called by that name is that they restored Moshe Rabbeinu's praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Gibor and Nora that Yirmiyahu and Daniel had ceased to use, thereby magnifying Hashem's greatness. So once again, the leader of the chimney sweeps bowed down to a priestly man in beautiful garments when he cast a fiery lion cub into a lead cauldron producing lots of soot, while an assembly of great judges looking on proclaimed Hashem was powerful and awesome. Daf Ayin, so the Simur Daf Ayin is a one-eyed Martian. So here goes. The one-eyed Martians, that must mean we're on Daf Ayin. The one-eyed Martians listening to their high Martian, proudly doing a public reading by heart, which reminds us, the Gemara here asks why the Kohen Gadol reads the parchment Musafim by heart instead of rolling the sefer to the proper place and reading inside. Rav Huna Bar Yeshua said, in the name of Sheshes, because we don't roll a sefer Torah in public out of consideration for the covet of the zebra and making them wait in silence until the Torah is rolled and then read. Two reasons are given as to why a second sefer is not brought. Mishum Bekam Moshav Rishon, because people might think the first one is lacking, or Mishum Bracha Shein Tzricha, because of the unnecessary bracha the Kohen Gadol would make. So the one-eyed Martians listening to their high Martian, proudly doing a public reading by heart, wish they had chosen instead to go to the sacrificial burning, taking place on a different planet at the same time. Which reminds us, the Gemara here asks why anyone would think that there's anything wrong with watching both procedures of Kriyas HaTorah and the burning of the offerings, and answers that you might have thought that one might not leave one procedure in the middle in order to observe the second one based on Rishon LeKedushin's principle of Ein Mavir in all mitzvahs. We don't pass over the opportunity to perform mitzvahs, the mitzvah being here, Barov Amadras Melech. It's a mitzvah of, with a multitude of people, is the glory of the king. Therefore, the Tanna is coming to inform us that one would be permitted to do so. And Rashi explains that since those watching the mitzvah are not actually involved in its performance, leaving the area doesn't constitute a mavir in all mitzvahs. So the one-eyed Martians listening to their high Martian proudly doing a public reading by heart, wish they had chosen instead to go to the sacrificial burning taking place on a different planet at the same time, where only one ram was offered. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva disagree about the order of the offerings, but agree that there was only one communal ram, since neither mentioned a second ram in their order of the Karbanis. So this is in accord with Rebbe, as it was taught in the Brisa, Rebbe holds that there was one ram on Yom Kippur, the one mentioned by Yikra and the one mentioned in the Chumash HaBekudim. Rabbi Shimon says there are two communal rams, the one mentioned by Yikra and the other in Chumash HaBekudim. Rebbe holds that there's one, for it's written Echad, one ram. The Torah emphasizes one, even though the word ram alone would have indicated a single ram. Rabbi Shimon says that the meaning is Meyuchad Shebe'edro. It should be the choices of its flock. Rebbe learns it should be Meyuchad Shebe'edro from a different pasuk. All right, so that concludes the shir. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.